Genesis this morning, Genesis chapter 32, as we'll be reading this morning, Genesis 32, we'll be reading 24, verse 24 through verses 28. The very first book in your Bible you'll come to is Genesis, and you'll turn over to Genesis chapter 32, and if you found that, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I'll read the evens, verses 24, 26, and 28, if you'll join with me on the odds, verses 25 and 27, this morning in Genesis chapter 32. Again, Genesis 32, we'll be reading verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading. Thank you for, again, the time we've had already this morning. Lord, I pray as we meet here in this assembly, Lord, I pray that we listen attentively what is being preached this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit would have His power upon the message, upon the speaker. Lord, I pray You bless the special. We speak to our hearts before the message. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Time after time, He has waited. Waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how He wants to come in. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to Him? Time after time, He has waited before, and now He's waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how He wants to come in. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find His arms open wide. Receive Him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart He'll
this morning. I want to pray and ask the Lord to bless. I want to speak today on the subject, weak link. Is there any hope? I'm having trouble with weak link. I'm saying more often, wink leak. And so, but I'll try to get it right this morning. Weak link. Is there any hope? Let's pray together and jump right into this text, this passage, and hopefully learn from it today. Our Father, we're grateful now for Your presence here today. Thank You for Your greatness. And God, I pray that You will Manifest your greatness again in this service. Help us to learn something from your great word. And may you speak to us through the Holy Spirit who is within us and about us today. And we'll thank you for it. Give us your power. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. And amen. Is there any hope? You know, hope is such a critical element to every and any person. Hope says there's a chance. Hope says there's a way out. Hope says there's a possibility. You take away hope and a person faces certain despair. In fact, that's what Webster or Hal Webster defines the word despair in his dictionary. He uses this definition or these words to define it. Hopelessness. That was the first one he gave. Hopelessness. A destitution of hope. To be without hope. And then this one I thought that he gave was very interesting. Despair is loss of hope in the mercy of God. And that's true, friend. If you lose hope in the mercy of God, you will become a despaired individual, okay? And so hope is a critical, critical element. Now, we learned last week from our text over in John chapter 8 that every person has a weak link. If you were here last Sunday, remember the Pharisees and scribes, they drugged that woman in who was caught in the very act of adultery, and they drug her into the synagogue and set her down there in the midst of all the people, and Jesus was teaching, and they interrupted the service, and Jesus, the law says that she should be stoned, and what do you say? And, you know, they had no care for the girl, they had no concern for her, they were trying to get Jesus Christ, that was what they were doing. And Jesus said, he ignored them for a while, and they persisted, and he said, okay, he said, yeah, I tell you what, let's do, let's stone her, and the first one can, here's the only stipulation, the first one that throws a rock has to be somebody that's never sinned. And the Bible says they shut their mouths and they went out one by one. And in that statement that Jesus made, he exposed the fact that, you know, friend, listen very carefully because this is so critical that we understand this. The adultery was not the person's core problem. The core problem that she had was the same core problem that those men who drug her in there had. It's called sin nature. It's called sin. So that is the weak link, okay? The weak link. Now stay with me because I'm going to use this term this morning, and I thought about it during the week, and what terminology do I use? It's the best thing I could come up with. The weak link is not the outward demonstration. The weak link is not the adultery. The weak link is not the lying. The weak link is not the drunkenness. The weak link is not the jealousy. The weak link is the sin nature. And that's common to everybody. We all possess that sin nature, and that is indeed the weak link that demonstrates itself in so many different ways in our lives. Loss of temper or jealousy or envy or drunkenness or adultery or gambling or binge buying or anger or cheating. You know, we always like to categorize the weak links with those big sins that we think are so almost like Catholics mortal. But really, there is no mortal and venial sin. Now, certain sins have certain consequences. But the weak link, friend, is our sin nature. It's in every one of us. And I'm going to talk next Sunday morning, Lord willing, if we're all here. I'm going to talk next Sunday morning about how the Holy Spirit will help us in dealing with the demonstration of the weak link. How can the Holy Spirit help me? Is there any help for my anger that stems from my sin nature? Is there any help for my jealousy that stems from my sin nature? Is there any help for my sensitivity in being offended over silly things that stems from my sin? Is there any help for that? There is help for that. And honestly, it's not what our society prescribes, but it's the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the great help, but that's the subject for next week, so I don't know why you got me off on that topic this morning anyway, all right? Now, the weak link of sin, but we gotta nail this down. This is a little bit similar to last week with a little variation, but the weak link of sin has put us all in a precarious position, every one of us. But Jesus has made it possible for us to address our weak link and not just to dress up the symptoms. Okay? I can say this, folks. Now, I'm not for adultery. But you can take care of adultery and still go to hell. I'm not for drunkenness. You know, I don't know how he's doing today, but I read an article some years ago that said that Alice Cooper gave up alcohol and drugs. You know who Alice Cooper was? He was one of the rock and roll stars back in the 60s and 70s, a wild man addicted to drugs and drunkenness. And he had a big article I was reading in a doctor's or dentist office somewhere waiting to see the whoever I was seeing. And it talked about the way they turned a corner. I'm going to tell you something. You can swear off alcohol and you can swear off drugs and still not deal with the weak link. Okay? I'm talking about this is what a society wants us to do. Society wants us to dress up the symptoms and never deal with the cause. So I'm talking about the cause this morning. I'm talking about the weak link of sin nature that's in every one of us. And this question, is there any hope? And some might feel that there is no hope, that you're doomed, or someone you know is doomed to always succumb or give in to the outward demonstration of the weak link. I like what somebody said, and I don't know who the name is, but somebody said, quote, when you say a situation or a person is hopeless, you are slamming the door in the face of God. And that's true. And I wouldn't do that too often if I were you. So let's talk about it. Now, our text today is about a man, Jacob, who had a very obvious outward demonstration of his weak link of sin. But there was hope for him. There's hope for Jacob, and there is hope for me, and there is hope for you. And by the way, I'm talking about every person in this room, those who are unsaved and those who've been saved that still haven't dealt with a weak link, the sin nature. Take it back to the root, okay? But there's hope for us this morning. Let's talk about it, what we can learn from this text. First of all, number one, I want to talk about Jacob's outward demonstration. Jacob's outward demonstration. Now, when I say outward demonstration, I'm talking about the obvious outward demonstration that was proof of Jacob's sin nature. You say, okay, what was his outward demonstration that was proof of his sin nature? His outward demonstration was this: his deception. He was a deceiver. He was a trickster. He was a supplanter. He was a manipulator. He was a deceiver. Not just one time, over and over and over and over again throughout his life. He deceived his brother Esau in Genesis 25. He deceived his father Isaac in Genesis 27. He deceived his father-in-law Laban in Genesis chapter 30. He was a conniver. He was a manipulator. He was a deceiver. He was a trickster. He would take from you in a heartbeat if it could benefit him. In a heartbeat. He was not slow to do you bad if it meant good for him. He was a deceiver. He tricked his brother Esau out of the birthright that belonged to Esau, taking advantage of Esau's weakened physical condition and his impatience. And Jacob tricked him, manipulated and tricked him, deceived him out of his birthright. He tricked his father Isaac into giving him the family blessing. It was supposed to go to Esau. He lied. He deceived, going as far as disguising himself because his voice sounded like Jacob, but his hands felt like Esau because he put sheep's wool on his hands to trick and manipulate his blind daddy. He deceived his father into giving him the family blessing. We're talking about a man that has a bad problem here with deception. He tricked his father-in-law Laban by manipulating the cattle so that Jacob would end up with more calves than Laban. Folks, it was one thing after another. This is how the weak link of Jacob's sin nature kept showing itself. Over and over and over and over, this deceitfulness kept demonstrating itself in his life. Now, you know, I'm talking to folks this morning, and that outward demonstration of the weak link of the sin nature may not be deception. In other people, it's other things. I've told you before. I won't go through all the great details, but just kind of summarize it for you. I remember, you know, in Iowa dealing with a young man. He was about, I'm guessing, 18 when I started working with him. And he had a bad situation as a kid. He was conceived out of wedlock, and he was told more times than he needed to hear by his mother that you were a mistake. Sad. But he had some real problems with his anger. real problems with his anger. And it kept demonstrating itself. Joyce and I hadn't been there very long. And we were living right across the street from the church building in a little quadruplex. They'd taken a two-story house and made four apartments out of it. We had the upstairs apartment. And the window in our little living area looked out across the street diagonally at Marion Avenue Baptist Church building. I could throw a rock and hit the church. And so one Wednesday night, summertime, we've had the service over there. We're back at the apartment now, getting ready for bed. I hear the windows are open. I hear the loudest clanging and noise and carrying on. And I go to the window, and here is this young man that belonged to the church there that I was trying to help. And he had his pickup truck parked in front of the church there on the street. Those of you been out there, there's no parking lot. You park on the street, okay? And he was back, and he would run up, and he kicked the back taillights out of his truck. He came over, he kicked the back taillights out of the left side of his truck. He went around the front. I watched him. I'm stunned. I'm just watching. He kicks the front headlight. I hear glass breaking. He's kicking the doors. He gets in the back of the truck, and he kicks and he kicks and he kicks and he kicks until he kicks the tailgate off, falls in the street. Bang, bang, clang. I watched that with my own eyes. I thought, poor kid. Unbelievable. I said, why didn't you go over there? Afraid he kicked me. Not really, but I just, seriously. Not really, seriously. That's kind of dumb. But anyway. His grandmother's trying to help him. His grandmother's living with him. He's living with his grandmother. And she gets him a Camaro, gets him a nice car. And the engine goes bad on it. He and his buddies are shade tree mechanics, so they roll it up underneath the shade tree, put a big old chain and come along and everything. Some of you fellas loosened all the motor mounts and all the stuff in the engine and hoisted that thing up in the air. This is a Camaro, folks. And somehow, some way, in the process of them hoisting that engine up in the air, it broke loose and boom, fell on the car. Well, he made him mad. So he hoisted up in the air again. He pushed the car forward 6 or 8 inches, 12 inches, and he let the thing go, and bam, it fell on the car again. He hoisted it up in the air. He pushed the car. I'm not kidding. He pushed the car ahead and fell on the windshield, just smashed it. He smashed that car with that engine over and over again. Smashed it. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. Some weeks later, some months later, he's got a station wagon now. He pulls up to the south side of the church. For some reason, I'm standing out there. When he pulls up to the south side of the church, there's no taillights, there's no headlights, and there's no window in the back glass. I said, Brett, what do you do? Oh, I got mad. I said, say something, pal. I said, one of these days, you better get a grip on this thing, because one of these days, it's not going to be your car. It's not going to be the headlights, the taillights, and the windshield, the back window of your car. It's going to be the girl you marry and your kids. And by the way, it was. I'm not exaggerating this story. I got eyewitnesses here, people that know. And he ends up in prison for domestic abuse some years after he's married because he whooped up on his wife. Now, his demonstration, the demonstration of his weak link was not the same as Jacob's. Jacob is not beaten up on anybody physically, but he is beaten up on people through deceit. He's beaten up on people through manipulation. This guy out in Iowa, he's beaten up on things because of his lack of control, his anger, his wrath, this surge of violence in his heart. Now, Jacob's outward demonstration was deceitfulness. And folks, can I say this? It followed him wherever he went. And the same thing with this young man in Iowa. It follows you where, if you don't deal with it, it follows you wherever you go. The outward demonstration of our weak link of sin will show itself over and over and over again, no matter how fast we try to run from it, and no matter how far we try to move away from it. You can't outrun it. And you can't move. Folks, you can go to the moon. But just moving to the moon is not going to deal with your weak link. Not going to do that. Look, 23 years here at this church almost in just a few weeks. And you know what? Over the years, God has, in His will, in His plan, has not only moved people into this church, but God in His will and His plan has moved people out of this church. And in His will, they've changed jobs or changed locations and changed churches in the will of God. But then others have left trying to outrun a weak link. Trying to move away, because if we can just move away, then it'll all be settled. You can't outrun it. You can't outrun it. You cannot move away from it because it's with you. It's in you. It cannot be overcome, watch this one, by the addition of good things. Jacob moved away because his brother wanted to kill him. Why did Esau want to kill him? Because Jacob deceived Esau and deceived Isaac. And Esau was mad and furious at his brother. So Jacob goes to Laban. I'm going to move away from this problem. And he marries a girl, and then he marries a second young lady, and he's got children, he's got 11 sons, he's got a daughter, he's adding all of these good things to his life, but guess what he did? He deceived his father-in-law. You can't outrun it. And you can't move away from it. What I'm talking about this morning is the outward demonstration of the weak link. Jacob was a deceiver because of his sin. Now, in our text this morning in Genesis 32, he is headed back home. He is leaving, for all practical purposes, a pacified but rather angry father-in-law. He's headed back to face an angry brother. Both of them are mad at him because he's deceived them. He's in a pickle. And I don't know what he thinks. I don't know if he thinks he can move back home now, you know, because so many years have passed. It won't follow him. But friend, he can't stay back there with his father-in-law. He's got to go. He can't stay where he's going. What's he going to do? Maybe that's how you feel this morning. Maybe, you know, maybe there's nowhere to go in life. And you've carried this problem, this outward demonstration of sin in life, over and over and over and over, whether it's anger or jealousy or malice or just an ugly spirit or loss of temper, or if you want to call it the big things, the big things. And you've moved and moved and tried this and tried that, and you can't outrun it, and you can't add enough good external material things in your life to overcome it. Are you with me this morning? It's a weak link. It's the sin nature. It's in with all of us. And this is what Jacob is. He's a deceiver. He is a supplanter. He is a trickster. So what to do? You say, I don't think there's any hope for Jacob. It seems like he's just caught in a fix. He can't get out. And I feel the same as Jacob. Like I've turned this way and that way and this way and that way. And I can't outrun this problem that I have. And well, friend, is there any hope? Well, I'm glad there's hope. Jacob found hope, and so can you. And I want you to see number two this morning, where Jacob found hope. Jacob's inward realization. This is what our text is about. I've been giving you the precursor to this text, okay? This is what our text is about. His inward realization. You're going to have to come to the same realization that Jacob came to. And if you will, that's where you can find hope. Now, I want to say two or three things about this. First of all, you have to go there. Or come here, come to the realization alone. Look at verse number 24. And Jacob was left alone. You have to come to this realization alone. No one else could do this for Jacob. He was alone with an angel of God. And Leah wasn't there, and Rachel wasn't there, and the 11 boys weren't there, and the one daughter wasn't there, and his father-in-law wasn't there, and his dad wasn't there, and his brother wasn't there, and his mother wasn't there. He was alone. And friend, if you're ever going to come to the inward realization of what you need to come to in order to get help with things going on in your life, you're going to have to go there alone. Alone in the sense that nobody else can do it for you. Okay? Maybe not alone in the sense that somebody could help you, but in the end, you're going to have to address this yourself. And I'm afraid that this is where And I'm speaking a tad bit blindly, but bear with me, okay? Have a little patience. I'm afraid that this is where so much of this support stuff and group therapy stuff really gets it wrong. I'm not against somebody helping you, but in the end, you're going to have to deal with it yourself. You're going to have to. Jacob was left alone. No one else could deal with his deception for him. His mother couldn't hold his hand. His daddy couldn't hold his hand. His brother couldn't hold his hand. He had to face it alone. Okay? So you got to go there alone. You got to face it alone. It's something you have to face alone. Number two, you have to be sincere and serious. You have to be sincere and serious. Look at verse number 25. He's wrestling with this man in verse 24. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he, the angel of God, said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." I mean, he's wrestling with this angel. And boy, he won't let the angel go. And that's proof of his sincerity. Jacob wanted help. And the angel wanted to go. And Jacob would not let him go. He was so serious. He was so sincere about getting help. Now, I want to tell you something. You won't get the help that you need until you're ready to get serious about it. And get sincere about it. Look, far too many people. Look, if I injure my ankle, okay? And I injure it to the point where I'm hurt. And in order to walk properly, I need a crutch. And so somebody brings me a crutch, and I take that crutch, and I use that crutch to get me along while I'm hurt. And I'm glad for that crutch, and I'm thankful for that crutch, and don't take my crutch, and keep my crutch close by, and I need my crutch. But you know what? Pretty soon my ankle heals, and you know what? Throw the crutch away. Now, I'm okay with that with a hurt ankle. But too many people make a crutch out of God. They get hurt, or some problem, or some catastrophe, or some tragedy, and it's run to God, and boy, don't leave me, God, and I'm going to live for you, God, and I'm going to serve you, God, and I want to sing about you, God. And all of a sudden, over time, the hurt gets better, and the catastrophe wears off, and then it's, I don't need God. I'm going to tell you, you're never going to get help if you use God as a crutch. I don't like this terminology. I try not to use it. I probably am not 100% successful, but I don't like terminology like this. I don't like songs that express this terminology about, hey, you've tried everything else. Try Jesus. You don't try Jesus. You come to Jesus. And that's the problem. We've got too many people trying Jesus like we're trying everything else. And when we don't deal with the issue and it doesn't get fixed, we throw Jesus out like we throw everything else out. Don't try Christ. You come to Christ. You take Him like Jacob. You don't let go. You're serious. You are sincere. So you got to do this alone, this inward realization. I'm getting there, okay? But you got to do it alone, and you have to be sincere and serious. And here it is, the inward realization. Here it is. You have to confess honestly. Look at verse 27. Now get the picture before we go there. Excuse me, but get the picture before you go there. Here's Jacob. He's a deceiver. He's been a deceiver. Everywhere he goes, deceit, deceit, deceit. Can't stay there. He doesn't want to go back to, what am I going to do? And so I've got to have some help. And he comes alone to this place and begins to wrestle with God. And he says, God, I'm serious. I am sincere. I'm not just here to play games and use you as a crutch. And he's wrestling. And look at that 27. And he, the angel of God, said unto him, what is thy name? See, well, that's a silly question to ask during a wrestling match. You know, get on a wrestling mat and, hey, what's your name, bud? You know, halfway through the round. What is your name? And look what he answered in verse 27. With one word, one name, he responded, Jacob. He said, Pastor, what is the big deal about that? The angel of God asked him his name and he responded with Jacob. That was his name. What's the big deal about that? It's what his name meant. You know what Jacob means? He who overthrows. Deceiver, supplanter, trickster, fat. When you just look, one who takes another by the heel. Now stand up here, Brother Bragg, and face that way, please. You know, if I wanted to overthrow Brother Bragg, if I hit him up here, I may knock him, you know, not down. I may knock him forward. He may catch himself. But if I'll sneak up behind him and grab him by the heel, I can overthrow him pretty easy. And that's what Jacob means. One who deceives and tricks and manipulates for the purpose of overthrowing somebody else. Thank you, Brother. That's what he did to Esau. Oh, you look pretty hungry there, buddy. Boy, this soup smells good, don't it? Mm. Oh, man, I'm starved. I want to eat. Yeah, you want some of this? I wasn't going to serve it till tomorrow. It's really for tomorrow. Oh, I'm starved. Oh, well, listen, you want some right now? Oh, well, how about do this? You give me your birthright and I'll give you a bowl of soup. See what he's doing? He's mippies. Same thing to his daddy. Same thing to his father-in-law. When the angel of God, by the way, let me back up. Jacob and Esau are twins. Okay? They're twin brothers. They're not identical twins, but they're twin brothers. Okay? Esau was born first. This is incredible. I guess I get to use you again, Brother Bragg, okay? Esau was born first. This is Esau. Okay? Face that way if you would. Jacob was born second. When Esau was born, the Bible says, can you raise your heel just for me, Brother Bragg? When Esau was born, the Bible says that Jacob's hand was on his heel. That's how he was born. You listening? That's how he was born. The overthrower, the trickster, the deceiver. Sorry. Have a seat. I'll get sued for workman's comp, amen. From his birth, he was a deceiver, a trickster. He's wrestling with this angel, and when this angel says, you want a blessing? You want some help? You want some forgiveness? You want a new start? You want to bury this? You want a change of life? You want all that? What's your name?
Jacob.
Sir? Jacob. Sir, what's your name?
Jacob.
I'm a deceiver. I'm a supplanter. I'm a trickster. I'm a manipulator. That's what my name is. That's what I've been from the time that I was a little boy. I've been the kind of person to sneak up and overthrow and trip and supplant, deceive and manipulate. I took my brother's birthright. I took my brother's blessing. I lied to my blind dad. I tricked my father-in-law and got more calves than he with all my trickery. That's who I am. Now, friend, I'm going to tell you something. Until you come to that place, you're only going to window dress the problem. Does that make sense to y'all? You're only going to window dress the problem. You have to get alone. You have to get sincere and serious. And you have to confess honestly. When we come to... We have too much of this. Dear Heavenly Father, please help me with my weakness. Dear Father, please help me with my fault. Please help me with my error. Please help me with my traits. Folks, don't call it that. Call it what it is. Our society has renamed everything. Right. Adultery is an affair. Drunkenness is a disease. being overly sensitive and offended is disenfranchised. You want to know if that's what's sickening. We've painted and coded everything so that it doesn't seem to be so bad. But God doesn't get in business until we say it's bad. It's bad. It's adultery. It's gambling. It's drinking. It's dope smoking. It's bad. This happened 3,700, maybe 3,800 years ago. You want a more recent story? You're looking at him. It wasn't until I was 18 and I was around people sitting on a wagon going out to a field full of pumpkins to pick them, but I was all alone with my thoughts and all alone in my consciousness of God and my consciousness of how much I needed help. And it wasn't Dad's fault and Mom's fault and this person's fault. And it was, God, it's me and it's bad. And friend, when you come to that place where you're willing to honestly confess, Lord, this is it. This is my problem. And that the deception or the drunkenness or the dope or the thievery is just the fruit of my problem. My problem is I'm a sinner and a bad one. Dr. Bob Gray in Florida, a pastor down there for a number of years in Jacksonville, and he would have people saved regularly. And he had this invitation, and this proper, prim woman, finely dressed, walked down the aisle, very dignified. And he met her at the front, and he said, "What can I do for you, ma'am?" She said, "I'm here to be saved." He said, "Wonderful. Just get on your knees right here beside this pew right here and tell Jesus that you're a dirty, rotten sinner. You need to get saved." She said, "Oh, I'm not that kind of sinner." He said, "Then go back to your seat." You say, that's harsh. No, that's reality. This is what Jacob did. So he's got this outward demonstration, I'm almost done, of this deception that follows him. He tries to run from it, tries to add things in his life to fix it, but it's in him. He comes to the inward realization, and then in verse number 28, you see Jacob's new expectation. Look at it. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but," I broke my glasses, I think it says Israel, doesn't it? But Israel. Jacob. Oh, your name, by the way, now that you've humbly and honestly and openly confessed to me what your problem is and what your need is, guess what? You're no longer deceiver. You're no longer manipulator. You're no longer trickster. You're no longer supplanter. Now you are Israel. Prince, prevail with God. Here's my point, folks. You know where Jacob found hope? Jacob found hope. You know where Jacob found God? I'll tell you where Jacob found God, where his confession took place. That's where he found God. And when he, would you please consider just for a minute how low Jacob had to be to hang his head and say, "Jacob, my name is Jacob." Can I submit to us that's probably the lowest point of his life? Guess who met him there? God. Because, friend, when you get to the lowest point in your life, I don't mean without money. I don't mean without a house. I don't mean homeless. But in here, when you get to the lowest point of your life in here, and you're willing to say, "This is who I am, and I need help, and I'm sorry." When you get that low, God's always there. That's where hope is. That's where hope is. And that's what I'm encouraging you this morning. Look, friend, you want to know where hope is? Hope is where God is, and God is where our confession is. If, and by the way, church, Jacob is not, he doesn't start off here and never have trouble again with some of his problems. But he's never the same. He's never the same. He walks with God and has a great walk with God the rest of his life because of this encounter he had. And I'm simply telling you this morning that this is a picture of what needs to happen in your heart, in your life, if you this morning are tired of all just the junk that follows everywhere, and it just seems like it always crops up, and you try this to a new start and turn over this new leaf and get this new thing. And if you're tired of that, if you'll come to the inward realization that God, my sin is the problem, that's where you'll find hope. That's where you'll find God. And you have a new expectation. On that pumpkin wagon riding out to that pumpkin field, I really believe that's where I hit the bottom. And in my heart said, Lord, it's me. And a few hours later in the church service, the preacher said, the one who can help you is Jesus. And brother, at the lowest point in my life, that's where I found hope. That's where God is. Got trouble this morning with sin? If you've never been saved, that's where you start. And if you're saved, that's still where you start. That's still where you go back to. Honest confession. Putting it out there. Because where that is where God is. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening today. I appreciate your patience and your attention. Now let me ask just a few questions this morning. And would you please think through this just for a moment? I know your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and maybe the temptation is to kind of let your thought processes wander away, but would you stick with it for just another 2 minutes, just a couple of seconds here? Who would say, Pastor, I listened to the message this morning, and I really believe with all of my heart that this is a truth that could help me. I'm going to say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm still dealing with a little bit of the old nature that I'm not really getting to the root cause. I'm kind of window dressing the thing. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven, but I need to just get honest with God about a couple things. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please, in the audience this morning? Okay. Appreciate that. Take your hand down. Is there somebody here that would say, Pastor, I need to get honest with God about the fact that I'm a sinner before Him. I have never been saved. I don't know if I am. And I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. But if there's hope in Jesus Christ, I'm interested in that. I need that. And I'd like to know more about it. Pray for me. I am not saved. I am not saved. Or I am not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Just slip it up. Put it right back down where I can see it. It won't take but a second. Slip it up and just pray for you. Anybody like that? I had some folks earlier in the Sunday school. Can we talk to about this? Anybody else in the church house this morning? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Okay? Very good. If you're saved, you need to be baptized. Our baptistry is ready. Maybe you came for that purpose this morning. Is there somebody that says, Pastor, I'm saved, but I need to be baptized? Because since I've been saved, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that this morning? You came for that purpose? No? All right. Oh, God bless you. Okay. Well, if you came for that purpose, then just come on down over here. We'll help you get ready. And that's a blessing. God bless you, sir. That's wonderful. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And that's great. We'll just help you with this in just a moment. Anybody here? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Or I know I'm not saved. I want to talk about that one more time before we move on. Because, folks, until you deal with it, and deal with it honestly before God, you don't start the process of getting over it. It's going to haunt you the rest of your life and then throughout eternity apart from God. Anybody like that this morning? Pastor, I'll raise my hand about this matter of salvation because I'm not sure I'm saved. All right. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll please meet the needs this morning of everybody here in the church house. Lord, I pray for my own heart. God, please. I pray that you'll help me to be honest and open before you. And Lord, stay in that position of blessing. And Lord, may we learn to always deal with the root cause. I pray for anybody here this morning that's not sure that they're saved, they're holding out, they're not yielded. I pray, God, that your Spirit will please bring deep conviction and work in their heart and bring them to Christ. Bless these that have come to be baptized. And Lord, just please work in the invitation. I pray for Christians this morning who, Lord, need to take the axe to the root of the tree. I pray you'd help them to do it in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand like we do. And the ladies are going to play like they do. And you know what's going to happen? Some of you that raised a hand and do almost every Sunday, sometimes they're going to sit through another invitation like you usually do. Why don't you come and kneel and say, God, here I am. I raised my hand a moment ago because I really need you to help me deal with this. And I want to start the process now at this altar. Why don't you do something different this morning? Sincere, serious, honest before God. Oh, I don't know what somebody... We're not here to worry about what people think. We want to do right with God and obey God. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And the ladies are playing a song today. Would you slip out and come? You raised your hand a moment ago. Did you mean that? Were you serious? This is a good place to show your seriousness right now. This is a good time. This is a good time, good place. I raised my hand. I'm serious. Serious enough that I'm going to come forward. I want to kneel and pray.